Well, good morning, everybody. And it's a lovely day today, is it not? And it's nice to have the Sunday school back. Nice to see you all. And we've even got a visitor all the way from Stornoway, Margaret Williamson. So nice to see you. She's been here before, so it's not entirely new. It's even, I think, 18 degrees in Stornoway, going with the weather forecast. So you're all welcome to have a cup of tea or coffee or even cool juice after the service. You've got all the intimations before you, but I just want to highlight Friday at 7 o'clock in Audrey Scott's house. You're all welcome to come round. We'll worry about how to fit you all in when you get there. So this Friday, 7 o'clock, we're beginning our Bible discussion group. And everybody is most welcome to join it. It's the very heart and core of our congregation, where we meet together and we just chat together, get to know each other, and we learn about life, each other, and the Bible. Adelaide College is having a bric-a-brac sale this Saturday at 11 o'clock. There's a concert next Sunday in Kilwinning Old Parish Church, the Air Strings Summer Concert, featuring a voice, two cellos and a violin. Donations to the Organ Fund, and that's next Sunday evening at 7. I'd just like to say happy birthday to Harry today. I don't know if you say a gentleman's age, but he's that age already. And one last item, this is really good news. You will remember that about 8 weeks ago, we were announcing that Magnus the cat went missing, Linda Murphy's cat. After 8 weeks, he's now been found. We were asked to pray for him, so Linda would like to thank everybody who's been praying for him. And he was found safe and well, just outside the place where people were praying for him, just outside the church. That's why I encourage you to come to the prayer group on a Thursday morning. Jesus, who was rich, for our sake became poor, so that through his poverty we might be made rich. Let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory in Mission Praise number 200. Great is thy faithfulness, number 200 in the White Book.
Great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is
One of the most priceless things in our lives is that anytime, anywhere, we can just together turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now to sing your praise and to bask in the warmth of your love. We thank you for loving us, for creating us in love and sustaining us in love. You are our father and mother and best friend, all rolled into one. You light up our days like the rising sun. You soothe and comfort us like the noonday summer sun. You bring us through the heat of the day to the warm, satisfying glow of sunset. You pull us under your wing like a mother hen. You hold us by the hand like a strong father. You love each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. You love us not because we are so lovely, but because you are so loving. You love us with a love that will never let us go. You love us each and all. 99 out of 100 is not enough. You seek out the lost sheep until you find it, and you never give up. You woo us and you win us. You are the lover who will not take no for an answer. You are the hound of heaven. You forgive us 70 times 7. You go the second mile. You return love for hate. You're willing to die for us. Greater love has no God than that he lay down his life for sinners. And sinners are we, O God. Our sin has been to put ourselves before you. We've accepted your love, but we've not loved you in return. And sometimes we've even spurned your loving advances. We've said no to you when you said yes to us. We confess our lack of love towards one another. Forgive our family strife, our divisions in society, our racism, our attitudes to asylum seekers or ethnic minorities or incomers. Forgive us for wars between nations, wars within nations. Forgive us for our intolerance of the other in any shape or form. We thank you for your assurance of forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove our transgressions from us, and you remember our iniquities no more. Lord, teach us how to love like you. Teach us how to love with your love. May your love flow in us and through us. Make us channels of your love. Help us to love you and love one another and love ourselves. And to love with your agape love, your total, unconditional, faithful love, your self-sacrificial, endless love. and hear us as we sum up all our deepest longings in the words which you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. But it's very nice to see you in the Sunday school. We've missed you over the summer. Have you had a nice summer? Did you do anything exciting? Go on then, tell us all. You went holidays. I'm sure you all went holidays, did you? What did you do in your holidays? Right, Evan? A big slide. Quite high up, sliding down. Were you scared? No. Cool dude, yeah. Did your mum go? No. Oh, but you didn't have to go far for your trampoline, did you? Where's your trampoline? Out the back, yeah. And half the kids in town coming to join in. Huh? I saw you jumping on it. Can you do tricks now? What can you do? A what? A front flip. You jump up and you fly and then you land on your front. You do a somersault.
It's like a
roly poly. A roly poly. Well, must try it sometime, yes. All right. Well, you should go and show her how to backflip. Well, it's an exciting life. Maybe when you're doing your trampoline jumps, you'll identify what I'm about to say. This week, I was just walking in the car park to my car when I burst out a loud giggling. Just not long, just a little short giggle to myself. And I said to myself, where did that come from? Why did you giggle? It was like a hiccup of happiness. I just, in spite of myself, without thinking, instinctively went, ha ha ha. Folk might think I was crazy, but it wasn't that dramatic. But what I'm wanting to tease you with the thought is, can you remember that? Just getting giggly happy for maybe not even any obvious reason, just because you're happy. Yeah? Audrey shaking her head. Anybody else? It's lovely when you get that. In fact, I kind of did it this morning. I was down the beach with a dog. This kind of weather. It was absolutely beautiful. You get to walk with just a t-shirt. Perfect weather. Perfect occasion. And the dog and I were both running for the fun of it. We are incredibly blessed. We're incredibly rich. I don't mean money, but we're very well off. Some folk call it lucky. Some folk say fortunate. I would prefer to call it blessed by God. And I want you to think today about just how rich we are. I remember once getting a lecture from a minister in America. And he's talking to the class and he suddenly says, I'm very rich, you know. And we all went, oh yes. He says, I can just snap my fingers and I'll get somebody to come along with their car and drive me anywhere I want. A chauffeur, you know. He says, I can, any time of the day or night, just get people to cook for me. Lots of people to cook for me. And I've got maybe 10,000 books. And we're all looking at him. What's he getting at? And then he says, hang on, think about it. I'm going to snap my fingers and they drive for me. That's a taxi. You can go in the street, wave your arms, snap your fingers, and someone comes and drives you. The folk who cook for me, that's restaurants or chip shops. But they're there any time, day or night, and go and get your food. And the books, they're in the library. You don't have to own them and have them in your house. But if you know where to go, you just go and get them. We have sunrises, sunsets. We've got people that love us, animals that love us. We've got the church here this morning. We've got the school during the week. There's a song which goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Sometimes we moan and groan an awful lot, and maybe it goes with the weather. But on a day like today, we tend to feel a bit chirpier, happier. And the real skill would be on a dull, dark, horrible, miserable, foggy winter's day, if you could still be chirpy cheery inside because you've been counting your blessings. But try doing that today as you go away from the church and whatever you're doing. Pause and think all the blessings that we have and just how really rich we are. Wealth is not measured in money. I want to read you something. You can buy a bed, but you can't buy a night's sleep. You have the best bed in the world. Some people just can't get a night's sleep. You could buy books, but you can't buy wisdom. You can read all the books. You can be awful full of knowledge. But that's not the same as being wise. Solomon was wise. It was a gift from God. You could buy all the gym equipment. It doesn't guarantee that you'll have good health. You could buy expensive holidays. Doesn't mean you necessarily will have peace of mind. You could watch comedy films all week. Doesn't mean you'll have a sense of humor. You could buy lots of presents. It doesn't mean the person will forgive you. You could buy life insurance. Doesn't mean you'll have eternal life. You could buy jewelry and rings. It doesn't make anybody love you. You see the difference between things that money can buy, but the really precious things are beyond that. And they're more gifts. And there's a whole currency, not leaving money out of it. Go share a smile. Go share a hug. Give people time. Give people love. People give it back. And the world goes round. And you learn wisdom. And you have peace of mind. And there's all kinds of precious things. And they're all there as God's gifts to us. And we get them by giving them. As you give love, you get love. If you give time, people give you time. If you give peace to others, people give you peace back. It's a funny economy, but it's how the world really works. And one last thought about how rich we are. This is another quote. I am not ordinary, average. I am unique, special. And I say I mean each of us. You can say this as well as me. I am the person for whom Jesus died. I am the possessor of God-given gifts. Time, talents, money. I am called by God and appointed to be his ambassador, his person, his human agent, his hands and feet and voice. I am safe and strong because God is my refuge and strength. I am wise because God is my wisdom. I ask him for guidance. I am confident because, not in myself, confident in God. I ask Jesus, what does he think? He walks with me, he talks with me. I am redeemed because Jesus is my Savior. I am all that I am because he is all that he is, and he created me, looks after me, wants me, loves me, is with me. We can each say that. You realize just how rich you are. So let's celebrate it. Let's sing together from Mission Praise number 590. 590 in the White Book. Can I just say that the organ is playing up to date? There's one note that keeps sticking, and it's a very crucial note. So, David, you might just batter away, but failing that, it's maybe a song we can sing even without music. But give it another go and see. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Isaiah chapter 55 at verse 1. Isaiah 55. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty. Here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. It will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised David." And turning to 1 Kings chapter 17 at verse 8. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Now go to the town of Zarephath near Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow who lives there to feed you." So Elijah went to Zarephath, and as he came to the gate of the town, he saw a widow gathering firewood. "Please bring me a drink of water," he said to her. And as she was going to get it, he called out, "And please bring me some bread too." She answered, "By the living Lord your God, I swear I haven't got any bread. All I have is a handful of flour in a bowl and a drop of olive oil in a jar. I came here to gather some firewood to take back home and prepare what little I have for my son and me. That will be our last meal. Then we will starve to death." "Don't worry," Elijah said to her. "Go ahead and prepare your meal. But first, make a small loaf from what you have and give it to me. Then prepare the rest for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The bowl will not run out of flour, or the jar run out of oil, before the day that I, the Lord, send the rain." The widow went and did as Elijah had told her, and all of them had enough food for many days. As the Lord had promised through Elijah, the bowl did not run out of flour, nor did the jar run out of oil. And finally, from Matthew chapter 6, at verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Do not store up riches for yourselves here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are." And verse 24. "No one can be a slave to two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is why I tell you not to be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds flying around. They do not sow seeds, gather a harvest, put it in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? And why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass. Grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burnt up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? How little faith you have. So do not start worrying. Where will my food come from, or my drink, or my clothes? These are things the pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There's no need to add to the troubles each day brings. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 360 in the Red Book, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. There's one thing that you're not allowed to say nowadays, and that is, I am rich. Just try it in a social group. Just tell them that you're rich and watch their faces. Christians, on the other hand, are quite happy to say we're rich, and we're quite happy to glory in the richness. Because it's not boasting, it's not, we don't say we're self-made men or women, you see. Insofar as we are rich, it's the gift of God. All our time, talents, money are gifts from God to us. So if you've been given a big gift, you're not boasting when you say, I've got a big gift. The world thinks you're boasting because it thinks you're self-made. I'm rich because I got myself where I've got myself. Now, the Christian would sing Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Of course, Christians have their own little problems with that. Don't know about you, but he hasn't healed all my aches and pains. Don't know about you, but I don't feel just that financially secure. When it comes to wealth and poverty, there are two basic schools of thought within Christians. Think about this. One school of thought says Christians are basically poor. The other one will say they're basically rich. One school of thought says we're basically poor. Maybe not extreme poverty, but certainly not rich. Jesus was poor. He consciously chose to be a poor person. Blessed are the poor. The disciples were poor. The rich converts to Christianity in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 gave away their wealth, and it was shared in the common kitty. Jesus at one time said, it's easier for a camel to limbo dance through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. The definition of impossible. Monks took vows of poverty. St. Francis is one of my heroes. Underneath my apparent wealth, I'm really a St. Francis. Jesus said, don't waste your time getting distracted, building up earthly treasures. Christians also give generously, and they share generously. Well, if you keep giving and sharing, you're not going to be rich for long, are you? Christians identify with the weakest members of society. The poor, the weak, the downtrodden. Like Jesus, they get alongside the hungry, the thirsty, the lonely, the bereaved, the oppressed. Poverty is the world in which we live and minister. We seek first the kingdom of God. God provides the ready cash or the ready necessities in other ways. We don't really like a big golden mosque in the middle of all the poor wee huts. Never mind the mosque, the big cathedral in the midst of all the little wee huts, or the folk that built the cathedral and the worshippers who go to it. So a case can be made for saying that Christians are poor, should be poor, and work towards being poor as they divest themselves of what they have, giving to others. But that's one school of thought. There's another school of thought that say Christians should be prosperous. They're not saying you have to be stinking monetarily rich, but supposing you were, it's not something to be ashamed of. There's nothing evil in itself. Money's not evil, it's what you do with it that can be evil. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, and God does provide what you need, then you prosper. The whole story of the Old Testament is that Israel, when it disobeyed God, suffered. When it obeyed God, they prospered. Abraham was a rich man. Job ended up much richer than he started. Moses was born into wealth. Solomon was wise, but he was also rich. In every generation, you can be Christian and rich. Bill and Melissa Gates are able to do a whole lot of good deeds in the world because they've got the money with which to do it. Andrew Carnegie did a lot in his time. Cliff Richard There are rich Christians who use their wealth for God's service. American Christians particularly like the prosperity doctrine, that if you are faithful to God and He's faithful to you, you will prosper. Sometimes they overdo it when they buy the biggest car they can hardly afford to drive down the street to witness to others about the prosperity of God. So where does that leave us with these two views, both Christian? Both quote scriptures, both quote Jesus. Jesus didn't just mix with the poor, He mixed with the rich and the poor. Jesus wasn't the favourite of one, He was ministering to all. Sometimes people who feel that Christians should be poor seem to suggest that Christians can never be rich. But that's not right. Jesus didn't say it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He just said what's impossible for humans is possible for God. He didn't give up on rich people. God loves everybody. And sometimes people who feel that Christians should be rich, prosperous, and successful need to be reminded of the fact that riches and success do not always glorify God, are not always used to help the poor. Often the reverse happens, that, as Lord Acton said of power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, money can corrupt, and more money can corrupt more. So where does that leave us? This is an issue that's bigger than money. Money is only one of our resources. So what are we seeing then? And we hear in the background, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Count your blessings, name them one by one. At least we should be thankful for what we have. Do you count your blessings? How's the count going? We do live in a wonderful country. We knock things all the time, but underneath we realise there is a National Health Service, a legal system, a right to vote, freedom, trade unions, a welfare state, education open to all. And Jesus would say, put away anxious thoughts about food and drink and clothes. Life is more than these things. Consider the birds, the lilies, the grass of the field. Your Heavenly Father provides for them. You're worth more than the birds. He knows your needs. So don't be anxious. Look to Him. Our Heavenly Father is lavish and generous and wants to give us more than just our daily bread, literally. He wants to give us luxuries lavishly. When He fed 5,000, there was 12 baskets left over. He provided manna in the wilderness. He richly blesses. It's summed up in that story with Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. She'd got down to her last meal, and the prophet asks for it. And in faith, she feeds him. And it never runs out. As often as she goes to the cupboard, it's the last meal, but the last meal keeps happening. I'm not just saying this. It's not just in the Bible. I've lived by this. Some people feel that when it comes to resources and it comes to our own resources, we're like a toilet flush. And if I get somebody to pull the handle, I'm going to be empty. But that's not how it works. What happens is the cistern fills up again because it's connected to the reservoir. And our lives are connected to the God who is rich and lavish. And as often as we spend ourselves, He refills us. So love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. And money is the same. If you give it away, you end up having more. If you give away books, people give you books, and by the time you die, you've more books than you started. God has a different economy from the greedy, grabbing, selfish, keep it to myself world. We have riches beyond price in Jesus. Peace. You can't buy it. Joy. Hope. Purpose in life. Identity. Belonging. Meaning. Love. Friendship. You name it. That's the beauty of it. They're all priceless. In Isaiah 55, God says, come. Come and buy from me. You don't need money. God's love, God's forgiveness just comes into the cistern as often as it's empty. So let's thank him. Let's accept everything as it's given graciously. Let's receive graciously. Not the stubborn independence that will do it myself, but just say thank you and praise him and shout about it and give God the glory. Go out there and tell folk you're rich and tell them why. Use his blessings for his glory. Use each day. Use each pound. Use each talent. Be like God, generous, lavish. It's one of the hallmarks of the Christ ones, the Christians. We are truly rich in the things that really matter, in the things that money can't buy. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were infinitely rich in the glory of heaven, but you chose to impoverish yourself down to a stable in Bethlehem, a cross in Jerusalem, so that through your poverty we might be enriched and have all the pleasures and blessings of life with you here and life in heaven. So we dedicate ourselves and our time, talents, and money to your service and the spread of your good news. Amen. Let's sing from the Red Book, number 366. Sing to the Lord a joyful song. His gracious gifts belong in our souls. Let us pray. Loving, generous Lord God, we praise and thank you for making us gloriously rich. Thank you that we can count our blessings and soon realize how much you do for us. Thank you for waking us this morning, for every breath we breathe, for the gift of life. We thank you for giving us many years of life and giving us eternal life, for enriching our life, protecting and providing. We thank you for our daily bread and so much more than minimum necessities. We thank you for luxuries. We thank you for homes to live in, for family and friends. We thank you for parents and grandparents, for children and grandchildren. We thank you for good neighbors, for husbands and wives, for all the relationships that we enjoy. We thank you for a personal relationship with yourself. We thank you for work and hobbies, interests, for the quality of our lives. We thank you for such health and strength as we do have. We thank you for the wonders of nature, the amazing world of science, for brains to think. We thank you for so much that even eternity will not be long enough to list it all. We thank you above all for yourself, the giver of every good gift. We rejoice in all your blessings, but the biggest blessing is having you yourself. Lord, we bring to you today our particular prayers. We pray for those who are ill. We think especially of Jack and Grace Rogerson. We pray for Jim Forsyth, the Reverend Dr. John King, Morag Conway, and Irene Crozier. We also pray for Robert Howie, Peggy Gilfillan, Dora and Bobby Scott, Linda Murphy, and Alec Hiddleston. We pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We think particularly of the family and friends of Jean McCausland, whose ashes were buried this week. We pray for the wider world. We think of the G7 summit of world leaders in Biarritz in France. We think of the world trade war between China and America. We pray for Hong Kong and for Syria and Yemen. We think of the Amazon rainforest, the lungs of the world, with 73 forest fires this year, suspected arson. People attempting to convert the forest to agriculture. And an area the size of a football pitch is burnt every minute. We celebrate the fact that a new poly pill has been invented to cut heart attacks, the number one killer of people around the world. We pray that it may save many lives. And we pray for your church. We pray for Malala Presbytery in Malawi, with whom we are twinned. We pray for your people in Africa, but all over the world, and here in Salt Coats too. Use us for the spread of your gospel and the extension of your kingdom. Amen. A closing hymn is 371, O for a Thousand Tongues.
Thousand tongues to sing, My great Redeemer's praise. My great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my golden King. The triumphs of His praise. Our sorrows cease. Bids our sorrows cease. Bids a king sinners ease. With life and health and peace. Life and health is life and health. Is power of cancer sin. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore.
Do 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 do, our best done.